Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, Saints. This is Pastor Barbara Burris with another a word of truth. Amen. Praise God. And something to enlighten you on God and His will, amen, concerning Israel or the Hebrews, amen, praise God. And their being recognized by God means that He had literally wanted and is going to do for them now. He don't return back just worried won't return back to him, boy. And He's capable of bringing everything to pass concerning the Israelites. So we're going to listen to what the word is saying concerning them, because Israel had supposed to have been the leaders of our Christian faith, for us that are Christians now. But back then, those that were and most often congregating together to do the will and hear the word of God and what He would do. So my thought is on the vine, and the Holy Spirit directed me to go in this direction because, you know, time is winding up. And I'm really afraid of God. A lot of people don't fear Him, but I'm putting in 100% as I understand how to walk this walk so that I can be pleasing in His eyesight. So the vine was an important part of the Hebrew diet. It was first heard of in Egypt and Canaan prior to the time of Abraham in Genesis chapter 14:18, and it speaks, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. In the mountain region of Judea and Samaria, oh my God, largely suited, amen, praise God. In this area was largely suited, amen, praise God, for growing vines. In the mountain region of Judea and Samaria, yeah, largely suited for growing vines and not grain. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I'm trying to do something on the computer as I do this. It says, in the mountain region of Judea and Samaria, largely unsuited for grain, were well adapted for vine growth. God told Jerusalem, amen, that she was the vine, and as the clusters of grape are grown on it, amen, and cultivated, He would care for them. He would build a wall and protect them from the elements that were around them. In the book of Deuteronomy 22, verses 9, sums up the entire matter. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Even back then, there were laws made even about mingling seeds together to what you would say, I would say cloning them, but mingling them together, maybe a half of an orange and half of a pear to get some kind of new fruit out of it. And God said, don't do it. Even with the clothing, wool and some other kind of material. God said, don't mix and mingle them together. It's the difference in them. Amen. Praise God. And so thy seeds which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. And God was the crop manager, the husbandman. Amen. Praise God. Their watchman, their vine dress, or shall I say farmer. Most vine growers would set a watch over their crops and be a boot in those days in order to protect the crop from the thief. You know, back in those days, out, amen, and all of that land and putting up and planting the seed and all of that, well, they had to bring in little bitty shelters called boots in order for the, after they planted the seed, somebody had to watch so that the thief wouldn't come in and steal their crop, the watchman over the crop, so that it can be protected from Satan, who is the thief. We are the crop, amen, we are the vine. In Ezekiel 34:29, God said that he would raise up a plant of renown. This was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen, praise God. And his only begotten son would be the true vine. John 15:1, I am the true vine, Jesus, let us know. And my father is the husbandman. The Hebrews were supposed to be the vine that would produce the fruit for the wine that other nations, which are the Gentile nations, would be able to drink from. After they refused God, God sent his son that would sprinkle his wine from the vine, the true vine, over us. Amen. His blood. Amen. Let us hear what the mind of God is telling us. This is the broken up perverse from 1 through 63. I'm going to break it up in parts. That's all I wanted to say with that. Amen. In addition to what Ezekiel had spoken early in chapter 15 concerning Jerusalem being the vine that was not suitable for God because of the sins of the people, God is again speaking to Ezekiel, another word concerning judgment against Jerusalem. Oh, my God. God had commissioned Ezekiel to prophesy to Israel and Judah that resides in the Jerusalem and the nearby cities. He told Ezekiel whether they were here or whether they would forbear to prophesy to them. And I'm going to say like this. He had to keep the will of God, whether they wanted to hear it or not. He was commissioned, amen, given an assignment that had to be completed. All of us that are chosen of God have a specific assignment that's different from your pastor or whoever, and it has to be completed in a certain time frame because we are in the earth realm. God allows time to be workable in the earth realm, where in his kingdom, amen, there's no need for time because it's eternity. God told him that the people were a stiff-hearted people, and he told him not to be afraid of their words nor looks, but speak the word, amen, whether they were here or for there. Spirit would often descend from heaven and enter into Ezekiel, and then God would speak to him. He would carry him into visions and show him things concerning the people. He taught him how to use illustrations, and he would describe the conduct and outcome of Israel. Amen, praise God, and Judea. He also instructed him to eat the roll and go and speak to the house of Israel. God told Ezekiel the word that he would speak to him in his heart. Amen. Praise God. And whether they hear in his ears or speak this word to them, for he had made him a watchman unto the house of Israel. God was telling Ezekiel, he said, I'm going to speak it in your heart. He turned around and spoke it in Ezekiel's ear as well. Amen. Praise God. Some people call the heart the mind and the mind the heart. So, amen. We are listening to God, amen, and obeying God and receiving it in our heart, the words that he tells us. And in Psalms 119, verse 11, it says, that word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. And so he's speaking this word to Ezekiel to tell the house of Israel that, amen, they need to get their act together, but also he's telling them about their faith and where they come from and why are they in existence even as for today. Israel and the Jewish nation, they eventually broke down from Israel, and the Jews were, amen, left as a remnant. Amen, praise God. So God is literally telling them now the words were being spoken to Ezekiel again. Amen. This time God wanted him to tell them about their unlawful acts. Amen. Praise God. In addition to what God had spoken to Jerusalem in chapter 15, the word of the Lord returned to me speaking, Son of man, Jerusalem, which is the people in, that will reside there, to realize her unlawful acts. Israel, mind you, is a he with Jacob. But Jerusalem, all the little cities and towns were called her. Even America is called a her. But Jerusalem, amen, God was addressing the people in that location, amen, in Judea, amen, about the things that he expected of them, and they didn't follow through with it. Most major cities were, praise God, called daughters, like I said, or her, and Jerusalem was God's bride and was doing unlawful acts. So God told Ezekiel to speak after the same manner as before, said the Lord God to her, warning her of her sins and nativity, where she come from, how was she brought about. And God began to tell her, say, through Ezekiel, he said, your lineage and your country where you came from is the region of Palestine, Pakistan, and is situated on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea in Southwest Asia. The terrain falls into four parallel zones. From the west to the east, they are the coastal plain, the hills of the mountains of Galilee, Samaria, Judea, the valley of the Jordan River, and the eastern plateau. In the extreme south lies the Negev and the rugged desert area. The Canaanites were the earliest known inhabitants of Pakistan and is located at the tip-tip route linking three continents made it the meeting place for religion and cultural and influence from Egypt, Syria, Mesopotamia, and Asia Minor. It was also the natural background for the great powers of the region and subject to domination by adjacent empires beginning with Egypt in the third millennium BC. Egypt culture and the Canaanite government were constantly challenged during the second millennium BC by such I'm talking about Agnes. Agnesticity, diverse invaders as the Amorites, Hittites, and Haranians. These individuals, however, were defeated by the Egyptians and by the Canaanites, who are that time and who were at that time had numbers of 200,000. Amen. Praise God. That would continue to be plagued and sought by the various people. By the Antichrist knowledge of the word and the world events, he will follow a pattern as the Pakistanians, amen, which was centered in the midst of the three continents, amen. The government will be carried out from the three provenance, amen, praise God. What the Antichrist is going to do, he's going to divide that area over there, amen, praise God, into three provenance. One is going to be where the false prophet and the Muslim police in that area, and I have it all written down, and I have to give it to you a little bit later, and around the Mediterranean Sea, where all the imports and exports were carried and is carried out today, that will be another providence where the Antichrist will set up for imports and exports, and then in Jerusalem itself. So he's going to divide it into three sections, amen, praise God, and these three continents, amen, praise God. And I have to go into detail about that, amen. The government will be carried out from the three provinces, amen, praise God. There will be a kingdom that will arise and will be different from the three kingdoms. Amen. Praise God. Daniel speaks about these kingdoms, Daniel chapter 7, and shall capture the entire world and divide it into three provinces. Amen. A governmental district. That's what they will be. Now, my eyes are bad, saints. I just have to tell you, and I'm seeing the best way I can. Amen. But 10 of these, 10 kings shall follow this king and his kingdom. This Antichrist shall wear out the saints and want to change times and governmental laws. Amen. Praise God. These laws will be established to govern the entire world. He will want to write new laws in order to control social life, commercial life. Amen. And what goes on with the commerce. Amen. Domestic life and moral, praise God, values. All nations must receive the mark of the beast to buy or trade. Now, this is what's coming up. And Daniel 8, 1 through 27, at the end of the times, this king, you want to call him a king or a president, will be known for his greatness in fighting wars. He is wiser than Daniel because he understood dark sayings, mysteries that have been kept hid in the word for many, many generations. Now, these dark sayings have been revealed by what I'm reading, amen, out of the word today. This Antichrist, amen, that's coming up. There are two father and son team, and then one more, Gog and Magog, and that's going to be at after the almost the end of Jesus' millennial reign, and Russia will come in and try to fight against Israel and will be totally defeated. But the father and son are not teens. That would be 70 years to elapse when this father dies and the false prophet raised him up during the time that the son comes into existence, the one that would sit Jerusalem. This Antichrist that's out here today, al-Baghdadi, he will not defeat Israel. But there's going to be the son that's going to come in, and through deception, he's going to defeat Israel, amen, praise God, by causing the prime minister to sign a peace agreement, which takes away God's will as far as being their God. So only one that belong to God or at one point in time were taught the word of God, he would be like, he knew the word of God. He studied the Quran as well as the word of God. He learned information from his forefathers about the word of God, and so he utilized it in all the deception that he's going to come in and bring in. He's going to use a strategy like Daniel, praise God, speaks about, and what he's going to try to do as far as the nations are concerned through deception. But he's going to use a strategy like Joseph did during the time of Israel. He's going to come in and set up camp, amen, in Jerusalem, and he's going to go in and do laws and the way Joseph did during famine time and how he governed the land. He's after people's land, their resources. He don't care about no woman because he is homosexual. But at the same time, he's going to come in, and through the way Joseph did with saving Israel as well as the Egyptians, he's going to come in and use that kind of strategy in order to convince the people that they must give up everything and accept the mark of the beast and all this that he's going to try to do. Well, the false prophet and the Antichrist is going to get together, and they're going to raise his father's image up, and they're going to think that it was such a powerful, supernatural thing, and they're going to literally have people that would think in that essence. What's coming up is God, the Holy Spirit, after a while won't be around. And during that time, and as it is of today, a lot of the young folks don't know about God in America and all over the world. So they're going to seek for a God, and the Holy Spirit is not going to be there. It's going to be a remnant, amen, praise God, that will go underground as far as the teaching of the word is concerned. But there are also going to be, amen, praise God, those that don't know nothing, and they're going to look for answers, and they're going to go to this Antichrist, and he's going to deceive them. Amen. So we understand that the word is true, and when we see how God will go and do what he has to do for his people, amen, everybody's not going to be raptured up. Everybody's not going to be caught up. And Daniel, if you read chapter 7 of Daniel 8 and 9, it'll speak about the saints still being in the earth. It would be stupid for everybody to be caught up or raptured up because, amen, who would fight at the Battle of Armageddon with Jesus Christ? there are going to be two battles taking place, the spiritual battle up in the heavens and the supernatural workings in the earth realm by God assisting Jesus Christ with the people. The Antichrist is going to show, amen, miracles and wonders as well with the false prophet, amen. He will reside in Rome, Italy, amen, as the Islamic State will be, praise God, and those that are of caliphate, amen, praise God, in that area as the priest or the high priest. But this Antichrist will be governed by Satan through his policies, the politics that he will give, and in government and his ability to prosper, he shall be lifted up in his heart and will deceive the people by telling them that, amen, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, he will give them peace, and it's a lie. He, in fact, will destroy many people, but the prime minister of the prince shall break him without hand. God did not extend that. These issues were at the revelation, amen, in time that will take place in the future. Amen. They were kept back until God wanted them to be revealed. The Antichrist will come from the tribe Dan. That's why you see in the book of Revelation where 11 tribes were accounted for, but Dan was. And then you hear where Manasseh has come in and taken that place. Well, altogether there were 13 tribes mentioned, praise God, in the Word of God, but Dan will not be mentioned because he literally was an Antichrist. He was his seeds are going to come in, and they're going to prove that they are of the Danite tribe, this Antichrist will, and they're going to prove that they are of the bloodline, and that's what's going to make those prime ministers, amen, that prime minister accept, amen, the Antichrist because of the bloodline. I will pick up the rest of this later, but I thank God, amen, praise God. Some days my eyes are better than others, but I do the best I can, and I just want you, I have to keep reminding you because I want you to pray for me. Amen. I pick this up again because it's a series of teaching. Amen, praise God. So have a wonderful day.